Welcome to the Israel Answers series, connecting Israel, the Bible, and you. Join Susan Michael as she explores timely issues and current events from a scriptural perspective to equip the Christian world with a balanced and biblical response. Be sure to subscribe for future episodes, which will ignite your faith and bring the Bible to life in your everyday world. Now, let's join Susan with your Israel Answers.
We are here at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Dallas, Texas, and we are meeting the most interesting people. I have here with me Hooman Khalili. He is an artist, a philanthropist, and he has just completed 18 murals of Iranian women in different cities in Israel, Jerusalem, Haifa. And we're here to ask him, why exactly is he the first artist to make murals in Israel with the sanction of the Israeli government, honoring Iranian women and freedom for Iranian women? So tell us about this project. First, tell me who you are. Were you born in Iran? How did you end up in America?
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here. Yeah, so I was born in Iran. My mom escaped with one suitcase, $5,000, three-year-old boy, 1978. That was me.
The three-year-old was you.
Three-year-old was me. And then I was raised in the San Francisco Bay Area and was born Muslim. And through a series of incredible miracles, we were adopted by the Presbyterian Church. And then I was raised in that church. I was a Sunday school teacher, youth group counselor, choir director.
Praise God.
Amen. And, you know, just as life goes, you start off at a Presbyterian church and you explore the Baptists and the Pentecostals and everything else. And my lifetime, I've been to about 500 different churches. And it's just really sensitive to where God's leading. And because of the pandemic and because of the way the world was, through a series of miracles, after a woman named Mahsa Amini was murdered in Iran in September of 2022, I helped birth a mural in San Francisco. And the miracle is, I was at a point in my life where I was like, God, what do you want me to do next? Like, what are you doing? I was working for CBS Radio for 21 years. I left that job, and I wasn't sure where God wanted me. And next thing I know, that mural that I helped birth in San Francisco went viral, and one of the people that saw it was the vice mayor of Jerusalem. Her name is Fleur Hassan.
And that mural in San Francisco was honoring this woman who was unjustly killed in Iran.
That's right. Okay. So in Iran right now, if a woman shows her hair, they murder her. They'll shoot her in the head. The supreme leader of Iran has said, if a woman shows her hair, she's making war against God. And if once you use those words, war against God, what you're saying to anyone is, you know, eliminate that person and you're it's a blessing. Mm-hmm. So,
and each murdered woman becomes a symbol that also fires the revolution, right? So
exactly.
You can preserve their memory and honor their memory. It also emboldens the revolution that could happen there too.
You know, I say all the time, this revolution is a fire, and every woman that shows her hair adds a log to that fire. But every time you memorialize one of these women, it adds a bigger log to the fire.
I get it.
And so having the opportunity to memorialize these women in Israel is quite the honor. You know, like you said in your opening, Israel has invited one person to make murals in support of the women of Iran. By the grace of God, that's me. So after that one mural went viral in San Francisco, next thing I know, I find myself in the office of the vice mayor. And I said, do you have a wall? She said, no. I said, do you have an artist I can collaborate with? She said, no. I said, am I paying for this? She said, yes. Yes. So next thing I know, 26 days later, the first mural goes up in Jerusalem.
So you did find a wall.
I did, yes. Yeah, in a part of Jerusalem called Tel Piot. And then after that, 21 days later, the second mural went up in Nazareth.
Wow.
And have you been to Israel?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I've been to Nazareth.
Okay, so as you know, Nazareth is an entirely Arab city. And the wall that the mural is on is 200 yards away from the Church of the Annunciation. The church they built around supposedly Jesus' birth home. Mm-hmm. Childhood home. And the wall is owned by two Muslim men, designed by a Persian Christian, painted by a Russian Jew. I mean, that's Israel right there. And I remember after the second mural went up, I was alone with the Lord, and I said, God, like, two murals are up. How many murals do you want in Israel? How many murals? Do you want 40? It rained 40 days and 40 nights. And then a prophetic woman from the Sea of Galilee and a prophetic man from Singapore called over two different days, and they said, we have no idea what you're praying for, but God wanted us to tell you 18. And these two people don't know each other. And so in Judaism, you know how every number is associated with, you know, a phrase or a word. In Hebrew, 18 means life. And okay. So a lot of Jews, 18 is the most important number.
Mm-hmm. Especially in our post-October 7th world.
And the fact that these murals are woman life freedom murals. Mm-hmm. In honor of the women of Iran. So I remember, like, oh my gosh, 16 more murals. That's going to be brutal. But at the mural in Nazareth, the phrase, Esthers of the world, rise up, was born.
Wow.
Because as we both know as Christians, the whole book of Esther takes place in Iran, you know? And so this phrase for the Persian women, I did seven murals and then October 7th happened. And I called the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and I said, everyone okay? Heard there's a lot of craziness. And they said, we're not okay. We have a lot to do and no more murals. I said, what? They said, yeah, we don't have time for these murals anymore. So a month passes. I call again. I said, hey, I'm going to be coming back. They said, no, like, we're serious. No more murals. So I was alone with the Lord, and I started praying, and I said, God, what do I do? You wanted 18 murals. I've only done seven. You know, this horrible tragedy has happened.
Right.
Like, speak to me. Like, talk to me. All I could hear God saying is, who are you going to obey? You're going to obey me, or are you going to obey man? Me or man? Like, So in December, just 2 months after October 7th, bought a plane ticket, and getting to Israel after October 7th has been incredibly difficult.
I'm sure.
And I'm sitting in a hotel room in Tel Aviv. I'm the only one in this. I was the only one in the airport. I was the only one in the hotel room. In the hotel. And I called the ministry. I said, hey, I'm in Israel. Just want to let you know, I got a new design. First day, no one calls me. Second day, no one calls me. Third day, no one calls me. Fourth day, they call, and they said, send us the design. Now, on October 7th, two of the women that were killed were Persian Jews, killed by Hamas.
Oh, wow.
And one of them is a woman named Sherelle Haimpour. And I put Sherelle next to Mahsa Amini.
Okay. So you connected the two stories.
Well, in my mind, Hamas is just a tentacle of the Islamic regime of Iran.
Right.
You know, Iran is the number one sponsor. The Islamic regime is the number one sponsor of terrorism for the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody killed by the Islamic regime or their proxies is literally killed by the Islamic regime.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Bible, there's this theme. And the theme is God saying, I'm going to put my throne in Jerusalem. I'm going to put my throne in Zion. I'm going to put my throne in Israel. Over and over, you see this theme. But in Jeremiah 49:38, there's this obscure verse that your pastor has never prayed about or never preached on. And it is God saying, I will set my throne in Elam and destroy her king and officials, declares the Lord. Elam, Elam, what's Elam? Elam is the ancient name of Iran.
Okay.
And Elam is where the whole book of Esther takes place. Elam is where Cyrus is from. And Elam is where the Magi came from to bring the gifts for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So on the mural, the eighth mural, which is now at the Museum of Tolerance in Jerusalem, you have Jeremiah 3:17, and that day Jerusalem will be known as the throne of the Lord, and all the nations will gather in Jerusalem. No more shall they follow the dictates of their stubborn, evil hearts. And then next to it is Masa Amini. And it says, I will set my throne in Elam and destroy her king and officials. It's the only piece of paper in the entire world that has God's two thrones side by side.
Wow.
And so after they saw this, they called me back and they said, this is amazing. We're going to put it in the city center of Jerusalem. So all of us are going to get to this point where, I mean, here you have let your voice be heard. There's going to be times where you're going to send your voice to God. And you're going to say, what do I do, God? And God's going to speak and he's going to give me an answer you don't like.
Yes.
Show up to Jerusalem, even though they keep telling you no, because I'm going to melt their hearts. And I'm going to hopefully have them say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so after the eighth mural went up, you know, in total, like I told you, I did 17 trips to Israel over 21 months to finish all 18 murals. And then after the 18th mural was done in October of 2024, it's at a place called First Station.
And I know First Station in Jerusalem.
That's right. Yeah.
Everyone knows First Station in Jerusalem.
You know why everyone knows? Because it's the only place that's open on Shabbat.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Where you can get pizza on a Saturday.
That's right. And First Station is the train station that the Ottoman Empire built in 1892. Mm-hmm. And it was the only train that like went to Cairo and Beirut. Mm-hmm. So and you know, parts of Jordan. So after it was no longer a train station, it became a bunch of restaurants. I was in Texas, and there's a prophetic woman named Cindy Jacobs. Mm-hmm. She was praying over me, and she said, God's speaking. What is he saying? She said, God says he wants murals in America. Like, he does? And she said, yes. Said, are you sure? Yes. And I prayed about it, and I said, the only way this is going to make sense is if we put 18 murals on 18 college campuses. Because as we both know, I assume we're roughly the same age, even though you look 20 years younger than me. Colleges used to be the place of civil discourse.
Right.
Now they're the place of absolute insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see these Hamas, you know, apologists on these campuses, and you see them being interviewed and say, why are you defending Hamas? All the students will say, oh, we came because our friends are here. We just want to hang out with our friends.
And ultimately, the message of your art is pro-women, anti-evil,
yes,
anti-dictatorship. So these should all be messages that find themselves right at home on a college campus normally.
100%. And on top of that, if the murals make it up there and the students look at the women and they research the women, mm-hmm, they'll say, oh my God, we have to be supporting this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I see the flag of Israel here, and all I can say is the greatest compliment for Israel, because Israel's the only country in the Middle East standing with these women in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And I get phone calls all the time from all around the world saying, I used to hate Israel. I used to hate the Jewish people. But that's my cousin on that mural in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
That's my sister in Nazareth. Now I love Israel. Now I love the Jewish people.
Israel's the only place now honoring these martyrs, honoring these martyred women. Well, so were you able to secure a college campus?
Well, that's a good question. So there is a school, which is about 30 minutes south of Dallas, whose name I can't say yet.
Okay.
Christian school. And they're very interested. And the hope is we unveil this mural on Purim.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Although March also, 13th.
That is very soon. That is very soon. So you better get cracking.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that these guys say yes next week. And then we put the mural up on basically Purim. Which will be perfect because all the now the murals say the Esthers of the world are rising up.
Mm.
And to get a bunch of leaders in the community to speak at the unveiling.
So the goal is to have how many more murals? 18 murals on college campuses
in the, United
in the U.S.
And listen, I'm going for the big five. Stanford, Harvard, MIT, Penn, and Columbia.
I mean, all I can say is that if they don't say yes to the murals, then they're anti-women, pro-terror, and pro-evil. Well, this is a wonderful project. I am so impressed by what you're doing, even more so that you're financing it. It's one thing to ask, can I put art in your city? So I hope that this can materialize and that it can really continue to be a message of love to the Iranian people who are oppressed by their regime, and also a message of hope and connection to Israel as well.
Yeah. Can I just say two more quick things?
Yeah, and I also want you to tell people how they can see this art.
So there it is. That's exactly what I was. So go to my website. It's Hooman.tv, HOOMAN.tv. I have an Instagram, Hooman TV. And if you want to connect with me, like, I'm on LinkedIn, DM me. Mm-hmm. And we're both praying for the same thing, which is that patron, that mentor to come along and to help me as I unveil and do the Lord's work here.
When they go to your website and see the art, are the women showing their hair in the murals?
Yes, yeah. So I don't make any murals with any women's hair covered. The whole war is against women showing their hair. And the interesting thing is, I was born Muslim. The Quran doesn't say cover your hair. The Quran says cover your chest, but not your hair. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just one of these things that I want all of the eyes of the world to be on Iran. I want people to see and understand what's happening. Because mm-hmm. once you stabilize Iran, once Iran is free, the whole Middle East is stabilized. Mm-hmm. And that's what we all want.
And when they're murdered, and oftentimes Iran shoots one of their eyes. So how are you portraying that in the art too? Just the physical persecution.
So that's right. So if they don't shoot the women or hang the women, what they'll do is they've invented a little gun, and the gun shoots out one of the eyes of the women. So they have this scarlet letter, so they're marked for life. And everyone will know this woman showed her hair. So what I'll do is, from an artistic standpoint, I'll sort of have a bird or some other animal, like, sort of flying by, having the eye of the bird covering the missing eye of the woman. And I always use, you know, something biblical. A peacock, a nightingale, the bird of Israel is called the hoopoe, mentioned in the book of Leviticus, one of the birds you're not allowed to eat.
So there's always a bird in front of the injured eye.
In front of the injured, yeah, the eye of the bird is so from an art. When you look at the website, it makes sense. Yes. When we describe it, it's
yeah, I saw it and I did think it's an important note. I mean, because embedded in the art is the fact that their hair is uncovered, the fact that their eyes are injured. You know, all of yes. this is important to know what they're suffering and going through. So I really do encourage people to see it themselves if they can't go to Nazareth or
yes.
to First Station. And well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Man.
This was a really unique interview. You're my first Iranian mural artist to have on the show. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Out of Zion with Susan Michael. Be sure to subscribe to Out of Zion now on Apple Podcasts, cpnshows.com, YouTube, or wherever you like to listen and learn. Out of Zion with Susan Michael is a production of ICEJ USA, all rights reserved.